he's always mistakenly British.
Tea crumpets. Cheerio.
But he's really a Canuck.
Guilty.
Known on all seven continents.
Guilty.
Oh, I know who you are.
America's Guilty. Undocumented anchorman.
Guilty.
He's a recording star and a TV star.
Guilty.
Tuesdays, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo's Nerdly, presents Mark Stein.
He's guilty. America. America's undocumented guilty anchor. Anchorman. Guilty. Mark Stein. So, Mark Stein, you're in the news.
Yeah, I've been found guilty. Guilty. It's not really funny. This might be the last show we do. I've been found guilty by Ofcom, which is the name of the Ministry of Truth in the United Kingdom, for a show I did a year ago, basically, on on the ineffectiveness of the COVID vaccines, which don't protect you from being infected and don't prevent you from giving the thing to other people. So I did a show on it. And in the interests of shoring up the collapsing narrative of the COVID years, Ofcom, the Ministry of Truth, has pronounced me guilty. And I don't know quite. I'm not really in the mood for another law. I need another lawsuit, like I need a hole in the head. I mean, the one in D.C.'s been going on 12 years. I'm confident that there'll be the right to a speedy trial in the U.K. But I'm gonna, you know, counter sue. Because I think actually we live in a blizzard of lies. It doesn't really matter whether you're living in the U.S., Canada, Australia. The swirl of lies all around from this malign alliance between the media and the state is pretty much the same everywhere you look.
Yeah, it's impossible to tell the truth. I mean, first of all, when I saw this Ofcom business, I said, what the heck? What is this? It sounds pornographic.
It sounds
like they should be reviewing porno films or something.
That's another government bureaucracy. Actually, an old friend of mine wound up as the guy who had to review porno films. And so he became extraordinarily expert. Well, all the things you were talking about just when we were on the air a couple of weeks ago, became extraordinarily expert. That's an entirely different government bureaucracy, so don't get them mixed up. By the way, I have not been found guilty of misperforming in pornographic movies. I just want to make that.
I'm glad.
I just want to make that clear. You know, it's not like I've been around stuff like that in Quebec. The Office de la Langue Française, the Office for the French Language, prosecuted a sex shop owner because he was selling sex aids with they were from New Jersey and they had instructions in English only. And they prosecuted the guy because, you know, if you were a French speaker, you might accidentally have a bad accident using these particular items in the wrong way. So I could go down that road too.
Oh, goodness. All right, so, in all seriousness, so you told the truth about the lie. Look, everyone knows that these vaccines, even the manufacturers have now admitted.
Yeah. Well, they actually
admitted that they are not what the government told us they were in the very beginning.
No, and the story has only moved in my direction this last year. A lot of countries have withdrawn certain of the vaccines entirely, and then you've had one by one, starting in Scandinavia, they began withdrawing them initially for people under 18, and then for people under 50, and then for people under 65. And then you had France and the UK basically withdraw them entirely. The United States, I saw some horrific picture of little kids in grade school lining up to be jabbed. There's no medical reason for that whatsoever, and there's a lot of medical reasons for not doing it. So the story's only moved in my direction, and I've essentially been convicted a year later for not submitting myself and abasing myself before what is now an utterly discredited narrative. So, you know, as I said, I'm not really, I'm going to have to sue these guys, but, you know, I'm doing it without much enthusiasm, but they are disgraceful.
It is disgraceful. I saw one reaction on Twitter that said, this is exactly why we revolted. This is exactly, you are the case, why we broke away from those people across the pond.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff.
No, that, at a certain level, I'm sympathetic to that. He said, yeah, this is why we threw off the hated tyranny of the British crown 250 years ago. But then again, I look at what has happened, what Tucker was broadcasting on his show last night. And, you know, basically, we're all sliding off the cliff. And there's slight, subtle nuances in how we're sliding off the cliff, according to whether you're in a constitutional republic or in a constitutional monarchy. But the salient point is that the cliff, the edge, and the hard fall right at the bottom are all consistent across these various nations.
Well, let's talk about Tucker for a minute, because today, as you heard, Chuck U. Schumer and the Turtle both come out. The Turtle was a little bit less heated than Chuck U over this. But they're basically accusing Tucker Carlson of lying. And I love what Chuck U. Schumer said. He cherry-picked. Mm. We haven't seen these things before. So who's been doing the cherry-picking of footage here? And I just found it curious that what we're seeing with our own eyes, they're telling us not to believe, which is the Capitol Police escorting the shaman around like he's a guest, a valued guest, here for the House and Senate tour. And also this officer Sicknick, who they claim was slain, was walking around quite healthy, was slain by protesters. So their narrative seems on this January 6th seems to be exploding. Now, I also find it curious, Mark, the people that tell us democracy dies in darkness. the democracy dies in darkness. So these people have been lying about the Russian hoax.
Yeah.
They lied about the origins of COVID.
Yeah.
They lied about so many things over the years. You could go back through Benghazi. You could go back further than that. These are the people that consistently have brought us lie after lie, but now they tell us trust them and trust our narrative of January 6th. Why shouldn't we trust, at least give what Tucker Carlson is presenting a fair view?
Well, you said democracy dies in darkness, the Washington Post line. Actually, democracy dies through things like this, where essentially an event occurs. Now, actually, whether the event itself was spontaneous is difficult to know. As you know, there are all kinds of agents provocateurs from the FBI who've been cited and all the rest of it. But whatever, let's set that aside. The event occurs, and it is then distorted and weaponized not only by one political party, but by key agencies of the state. Now, I regard I have almost unbounded admiration for the United States, but I will make an exception for the Federal Department of Justice, which is a dirty, stinking, rotten, corrupt body that has been horribly politicized. And when I look at things like the thing about the guy in the buffalo horns wandering around, that is not consistent with the fact that he has been sentenced to 41 months in jail, 3.5 years. That is, after being detained in solitary and all the rest of it, under the abuse of his constitutional rights to a speedy trial, or even the constitutional right to have a court date at which the judge will schedule his not-so-speedy trial. So we've had total corruption of the process here, but the net result is that people who were sort of, as we see in the film, are being they're having perfectly cordial interchanges with the Buffalo guy with seven police officers. There's 7-1. Even by the crappy standards of the Capitol Police, which I regard as a disgust, they're not a police force, really. They're a Praetorian Guard for these pampered emirs of Incumbistan of either party, which is why McConnell and Schumer are all on the same page on this. But this is actually a story of how the establishment weaponized this event in order for its own political purposes, it mischaracterized it and ruined the life. So what we have here is, you know, all the people who are supposed to be for the little man, like Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi and everything, essentially this is rich, powerful people ruining the lives of nobodies. You know, 64-year-old people from the Midwest with no criminal record who happened to go up to the capital city on the wrong day, destroying their lives to advance their political needs. That's how democracy dies. Democracy dies not in darkness, but in the Klieg lights of the fake third-rate dinner theater peddled by the Congress and their allies.
Meanwhile, Mark, today I look in the papers and I see that there is true violence going on, true riots going on in Gay Paris. And you were over there. I mean, these people are in the streets. They are rioting. They are throwing things at police officers. They are burning things. They are just demonstrating. And you've got not everybody, but you have a few truly angry people that are rioting over there because the French government has decided under Macron that they have to work two more years in order to collect their massive welfare retirement bennies, and they're unhappy about it.
they're proposing to raise the retirement age from 45 to 47. So people have gone absolutely bananas about it. They don't want that at all. But I tell you, it actually, somebody wrote to me from France and reminded me of something Rush used to say, and in fact said it around about the time, just after the 2020 election. I remember Rush talking about it when there were talk of protests and all the rest of it. And he said, there's no point in a protest unless you're going to get 2 million people on the streets. And Rush used to say that with reference, if you were proposing a demonstration for this or a demonstration against that, he would often do it. He'd say, we need at least 1 million people or we need 2 million people. And I remember Rush saying that. Well, in France, they actually do put 1 million people on the street and they get results. And it's interesting to me that the government will probably, to one degree or another, end up accommodating these people because they're able to turn out. They are able. You can say what you like about the French, but they are able to get 1 million people on the street when they want to. And again, it's a forlorn contrast with the January 6th business because, you know, it's going to be people all over the country. Look at the way some blameless fellow who ambled along behind some guy into the Capitol and he spent 2 years in jail awaiting a trial date. People look at that and say, no, I think I'll sit out the next protest. Well, they don't do that in France. They do get out in the street in the numbers that Rush used to call for.
But yet I don't see any condemnation from these same people about how the French government is in danger and how fragile their democracy. That's what we were told. American democracy is fragile. Yeah. Oh, we're on the edge. We're teetering on the brink of collapse here because of January 6th. And yet you can have these violent riots taking place across the sea in France and not a word, not a peep from the international community about how this endangers the democracy of France, or this endangers, or the fragile balance of liberty in France. Not a word.
No, but that's because, you know, official rubbish. If you look at the point of January 6th was to be the nail in Trump's coffin. I remember while it was still going on, while there was still smoke billowing out of the Capitol, which did look fairly dramatic. You might think if it was a city you didn't know, oh, there's a revolution going on. But I remember being on TV with Tucker that night and saying, you know, I don't care about this. It's a, what, I'll tell you how, again, democracy doesn't die in darkness. Democracy dies in the darkness of a totally fake Potemkin legislature, where the so-called legislators don't read the bills they pass, where you have 3,000 bills on everything, so it's not, as we talked about a week or two ago, you say what you like about George III, but the Tea Act was about tea. These right. now are just like 3,000, 4,000 page bills that nobody could read. We all saw the picture of the guy. Well, he died a couple of years ago. He was a longtime congressman flying back to Chicago or wherever it was, reading Playboy magazine. He had the bill next to him. Had no desire to read it. He was looking at Playmate of the Month for May or whatever. Nobody reads those bills. Those bills are stitched together by staffers and lobbyists. It's so, oh, this great citadel of... see this shining city on a hill or whatever. It's a garbage legislature that is entirely dysfunctional, that has perverted the idea of self-government. You elect someone to legislate. No, I don't have time to legislate, so my intern will work it out with a couple of lobbyists. I mean, that's actually democracy died. Democracy goes to the U.S. Capitol to die.
Wow. And so we're going to go on vacation.
Yeah. No, Mark. We're going to see how real democracy, we're going to go to Croatia to see how democracy works there.
Yes. And you know what? I cannot wait. Are we getting off in Montenegro?
Yeah. Which I love. It's a fabulous wild mountain kingdom. And I've always loved Montenegro. And just in case Al Sharpton is listening, by the way, it means the land of the dark mountain, the land of the black mountain. So I don't want to find that I've been cancelled. Because I accidentally gave the name of a sovereign state that's a member of the United Nations. It's a fabulous place. I love Montenegro.
So let's invite everybody to join us. We're going in July.
Yeah.
We will be overseas. We're going to start in Italy. I've never been to Italy. I cannot wait to see a little bit of Italy up close. Yeah. And then we're going to Montenegro. We're going to go up the Adriatic Sea.
Yeah.
And so tell people how they can join us, Mark.
Well, they can join us if they go to marksteincruise.com. That's Stein, S-T-E-Y-N, all one word, marksteincruise.com or steinonline.com. And we would love to see you. We always have, I mean, there's people from all over the world. There's people coming from Australia. But there is a big turnout from Americans. And I know particularly with the Californians on these cruises, they're people who say, oh, I have to bite my tongue all day long at work. And it's so nice just to be able to say what I actually think, and instead of having to pretend to nod along to rubbish about climate change or whatever it is. And so people always have a good time on these things, and there'll be you and me and Michelle Buckman will be by the way, people think of Michelle Buckman as a former congresswoman and a presidential candidate. She's actually a terrific comedian. You know, I did a comedy sketch with her. We played those two FBI lovebirds, Peter Strzok and Lisa, whatever her name was.
Yeah,
Lisa Page, in this comedy sketch. And her comedic timing is lethal. And I'm revising the old W.C. Fields line about never working with children or animals to never working with children or animals or Michelle Buckman, because she's got lethal comic timing and... she's also a fantastic singer, too. So you'll see sides of Michelle that you might not have seen before just from watching her in Congress or on the campaign trail.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. Mark, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. Guilty. And I am so...
Yeah, you don't have to be convicted of thought crimes to get a spot on the cruise. So if you've led a blameless life, you've got an unblemished record, if you kowtow and cave to the state on all their official narratives, you're still allowed to come on the cruise.
Wonderful. James Golden, a.k.a. Slurry, thanks, Mark. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Your call's coming up, 800-848-WABC. Don't go away.